951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Hugh Keevans, Cammy Bell and Gordon DL are here, so please do give us a call between now and 6 o'clock, 01419511025 on Scottish Cup fourth round weekend. It is one of the best weekends across the Scottish footballing calendar. There's been a lot of high drama already. Of course, the weekend started last night when Rangers cruised to a 5-0 win against Annan Athletic. The headline news really was the three new signings paraded before the game, and in Andreas Skov-Olsen's case, unveiled before the game. Quite a nice change that it's not announced on social media these days. You get it the old-fashioned way, walking out the tunnel. So Rangers fans, was it the signings? Was it Tello Asgard's free kick? Was it something else that jumped out from that game for you last night? On to today, it kicked off with a great shock, Dunfermline knocking out Hibs. The afternoon was maybe slightly more predictable. Motherwell through against Ross County, for instance. Dundee United through against Ayr. But we've got some drama that's going to carry on. Livingston and St Mirren, one of the games away to extra time. Airdrie are both in extra time, but Airdrie have now taken the lead. They are 3-2 in front. It was a dramatic afternoon at Rugby Park. It ended in Dundee going through. So if you want to reflect on any of that, please give us a call. 0141 951 1025. We've still got Hearts Falkirk to come tonight. Celtic Auchinleck Talbot Celtic tomorrow. And all of that is against the backdrop of the January transfer window. So please, all your thoughts right now on 0141 951 1025. And if you've been sitting all afternoon thinking these guys sound great, but do you know what? I would just love to see Hugh Keevans right now. Well, the live stream has been turned on. So YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, you will see the guys in all their glory.
I think last night, with respect to Annan, Rangers scoring five goals against a team from three divisions beneath them is not the story. Miovski is a good story, a hat-trick. The Asgard free kick would have graced any football ground in any competition. However, for me, the real story was three big money signings, carefully staged managed presentation, and Rangers' way of saying, watch us go in the latter part of this season.
And then on to today, Cammy Bell, you're guaranteed storylines at this stage of the Scottish Cup. There's too many games with too many threads running through them, but loads to pick over so far.
Yeah, loads, and again, it started off with that big win from Dunfermline against Hibs, which is a big shock, and it's certainly one that Hibs will be looking at. They wanted to do well in the Scottish Cup. They probably looked at the Scottish Cup as an opportunity to go in and winning something this season. They've been knocked out, but brilliant from Neil Lennon and his team. And then you touch on another couple of results. I think it's a big result for Dundee, especially when they were behind at Rugby Park and in Kilmarnock, to come on back and win 2-1. I think it's really significant, and they're starting to get a little bit of momentum, Dundee.
Yeah, I think cup football is brilliant, Gordon. You always look for the shocks. We certainly got one early on with Dunfermline beating Hibs. You look at Stenhouse Muir. What, 4-0 winners over Morton. Incredible result. A lot of people did fancy that as a shock, but certainly not four. You look at Livingston St Mirren, two of them need a result. We're now into extra time. Teams run other teams close. Ayr United went up and performed very well. Tannadice, Ross County performed very well against an informed Motherwell team as well. We're looking forward to Hearts Falkirk tonight. Absolute cracker. One or two of the boys fancy Falkirk against the league leaders. So it just shows you it's all about Scottish football.
And Martin O'Neill was at Fir Park today, which has caused a big online rumour that maybe he was looking at Tawanda Maswanisi. Maybe he just wanted a Saturday afternoon out, but it's the January window. Who are we to put a dampener on any speculation, Hugh Keevans?
I think that if you are Martin O'Neill and you're halfway through the transfer window and you're involved in a race against time, you're not at a football match just to pass your afternoon, because if that was the case, you'd be better off staying at Lennox Town with Sean Maloney for company.
But you might not be there either, and it's up here, and I'm assuming his family's still down south. Maybe he just wanted to go and see the best footballing team in the country.
But he has to spend his every waking hour, when he's not coaching the players, he and Sean Maloney have to be trying to source players for Celtic. He's not out for an afternoon in North Lanarkshire. He's about his business.
I think if he was looking at players this afternoon, would it not be in his interest to go through to Dunfermline, where everybody's talking about the Hibs striker?
I think he's rejected Bowie. I don't think Bowie is worth the £6 million that is speculated over, and the Hibs haven't come out and said we want £6 million, but
yeah,
I don't think he's worth that money.
Let me watch that one on TV though on your way to Fupa.
He's caught both of them.
I've got to say, I totally agree with you there. As much as I think Bowie's a very good talent, I'd never be paying £6 million for him. But look, I look at the fixture list today. Are there anybody in that fixture list, any teams that would be on Martin O'Neill's radar for Celtic? Motherwell, I've got one or two players that obviously are catching the eye. Maswanisi up front, goal scoring. I've said it, and I think everybody agrees, probably in the transfer window, they need two strikers. Could he be one as well?
Well, nothing like a good bit of speculation during January. 01419511025. We've got good games to look back on, though. Games to look forward to and games that are still underway. I'm thinking in terms of the Premiership teams, Livy St Mirren potentially heading to penalties. So it'll be a nervy finish to this one.
Yeah, and it's one that probably before the game starts, you know it's going to be a tight affair. Two teams that are struggling for a result, but again, they're away from that league form. It gives them the opportunity. It started ever so well for St Mirren, that early goal, and it looks as if they'd got the reaction from Stephen Robinson's strong words midweek. But then Livingston reacted. Stephen Martindale's got them firing, and they're still in the game. So, that certainly wouldn't surprise me if it goes all the way to penalties.
01419511025. Graham is a Rangers fan. They were the first team through with a 5-0 win against Annan Athletic last night. What made you call this evening, Graham?
I watched the game last night, and the three signings look really good. On paper, they're good, but we've paid a lot of money for Chermiti, and it's not been great. But I think Danny Rowe's not done much wrong. But I think he should really reconsider putting Curtis out on loan and keeping Kusama. I know playing Aaron doesn't make you a great player, but no playing well against him maybe show that you're not as good as you think you are. Kusama, for me, is a miss. And I would keep Curtis and get money for Kusama. Wondered about the panel. So
I agree.
Yeah.
Do you? Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that.
What?
I would keep Finlay Curtis.
So would I.
And Kusama, I think.
Seriously?
Yeah, mate, I like Finlay Curtis. I think every time I've seen him, I think he's been excellent.
He's got that about him. I like the fact seeing he changed over to. Look, let's not get carried away. It's Annan they're playing at Ibrox, right? So you're expecting big performances. But Kusama, to me, he just floats in and out. If you're asking me who I would keep out of the two, I would keep Finlay Curtis.
I would keep both. I would not go along with Graham's theory that you just get rid of Kusama. I think he is a talent. He may have failed to shine last night, but he is a talent, as is young Finlay Curtis. I would keep both. There are plenty of others you could ship out because
Andre Skovolsen's coming in, isn't he? So that now maybe becomes a bit more congested.
They've got a lot in that department. They've got a lot to pick from. I do agree. If you look at the Rangers squad just now, they're carrying a lot of players now. With the introduction of the three players last night, they're carrying a big first team squad. They need to unload a few players. Mm. That's a difficult one because they're on decent contracts like most.
So let
teams.
Me get this straight, Graham. Rangers cruise to a 5-0. Miowski gets a hat trick. Asgard scores that free kick, but Gassama's performance annoyed you so much that's what you've taken away from it.
No, Curtis's performance impressed me.
Fair enough.
Rather than his.
A glass half full really answer, I like it.
I think when you look at Graham, when you watched the game last night, I was at the game and I was really impressed by Finlay Curtis. And again, he actually fitted in at left back at one point. He moved into that left back when Magoma came off, and he just fitted in there normally. And I just think he's got so much quality. I think his drive, he's only 19 year old. We need to remember this. He's came through the system, so I think it's so important.
Very quickly, Roger Hannah, just because we're going to have to strike fast. Livy St Mirren half time in extra time. Are we any closer to a winner?
We are not, Gordon. Still Livy, Winston Mirren won chances at either end in extra time. St Mirren started brightly, rolling to Dohu and Killian Phillips, both at sides of goal, but perhaps the best chances have both fallen to Livingston substitute Christian Montano, and they were both off target. We're going all the way and maybe to penalty kicks. At half time and extra time, Livy won sends one.
Once you've made it this far here as well, going to penalties now, aren't you?
Yeah, it's the excitement of an answer.
It's amazing, Montano, who scored two goals against Celtic and two crackers. He's missed the two chances.
Back to you, Graham, on the phones. You you responded very well there, saying about, you know, it's more about Curtis rather than Gassama. But you must really not be convinced by Gassama then, if you think, you know, called him a myth at some point, did you?
I can't even remember the last time he had a right good game. He said there's flashes in games, and if you get money from him, you should go and get some. I think Curtis is a better player, actually.
Do you trust Danny Rowe?
Absolutely, that's what I'm saying, but maybe a wee bit of more thought in it and just get rid of Gassama and keep Curtis.
I think Danny Rowe has earned your trust, and I don't think he would have any intention of getting rid of Gassama.
Maybe not. The thing is, get rid is quite strong. No. What does that mean? You're selling him for money, then it becomes a different question. He hasn't always played under Danny Rowe. No. You know, it's not like he has a sort of first name on
that. I think Graham's right. I would agree with Graham. I think there is a player in him, right? But I think he certainly doesn't deliver consistently. And even within games, he's not consistent. He'll show a flash, as Graham said there.
Good second half against Motherwell, wasn't he?
Yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah, but again, it's not consistent enough for me. For when you're a Rangers player, and I get wingers are inconsistent, but you've got to show a little bit more. Certainly when he first came on the scene, he was very exciting, and that's why I'm saying there is a player in there, but he's just struggling.
The only thing I'm saying with Graham is, listen, I'm not by any means saying Gassama needs to leave Rangers. Yeah, yeah. I think he could be a big player for him. But if I had the choice, right, and it came down to keeping Finlay Curtis or him, I'm sorry, I think Finlay Curtis
I'm
is...
With you.
Graham, what did you make of Andre Skovolsen being announced last night and brought onto the pitch along with Chukwuane and Romans as well?
It looks really good, mate. I think the big boy came on and looked as if he was just at ease. And the winger apparently is top draw. No, I don't really know much about the boy, but it looks three really good signings. And it's looking good for his further running, I think.
Get good CV.
Weeks ago.
Get good CV, Cammy. 40 caps for Denmark. Like, he's obviously not had a brilliant time most recently, hence why he's at Rangers. There's just a food chain to these things. You don't get a 40 cap Danish international who's at the peak of his powers right now. That's just the way it works. So you hope that you can provide the environment that allows him to get back to that.
Yeah, and again, it's you're certainly right. His CV is incredible. Norsland, who are a very strong side and a side who produce good footballers, Bologna and Club Brugge. Listen, it's a top quality player you're getting. That's what certainly is in there, and it's just about Rangers unlocking it. They've paid a big loan fee, I believe, for him to come into the club. So, listen, I think everyone that supports Rangers is really excited about seeing him. I think the reception he got last night, I could see him looking about the stadium and thinking this is a top club that he wants to go and do well. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him.
Know what I like about the signings quickly, Gordon? I think they've signed in the right positions, key positions. The left back has got to be brought in to the club. They need cover there. Right, they brought in a midfield player, Barnes, obviously injured, an experienced guy that I think will do a real job. And they brought in someone that's got to create the chances for Chermiti and Majowski.
You caveat everything on a night like last night by saying it was only Annan and it was only League 2, but as a goal scorer, can goal scorers above all other departments maybe benefit Majowski? You know, it's a hat-trick, like we said, yes, it's Annan. Feeling, that bit about putting it between the sticks, all that sort of stuff, can he maybe be one of the beneficiaries from last night?
100%, because you could flip it the other way. See, if he comes on the pitch
and misses chances,
he's not scored the goal, he will feel really disappointed and down. He'd have come off this pitch, yes, it is Annan, but you still need to put the ball in the back of it. I'd do his confidence.
Graham, where does Asgard's free kick rank? Is that the best you've seen from a Rangers player?
No, David Cooper's against Aberdeen at Hampden. Greatest Rangers goal ever, I think.
The free kick?
It was a great goal. Great goal, but...
Leighton dived on the way back. It was incredible.
I think we're just talking about pure aesthetics, because it's one element of it that you maybe don't really need to caveat with Annan. Free kick's a free kick. You know, that's the point. You could not have placed that better. No. Hugh, from a mile out as well.
Yeah, I get the impression that Asgard is growing into the jersey as well. You know, he's getting goals... and I think he will have a part to play in the running.
David Cooper all day long for me. Brilliant goal last night.
You would say that.
No. Brilliant goal last night. No goalkeeper in the world saving that, right? But I still go with Graham. David Cooper all day.
I remember the goal, I remember being there, and the Dazzler's right. I mean, Jim Leighton actually didn't move until the ball rippled in the net.
It is hard to make that comparison. We're talking Davy Cooper, yeah, we're talking Aberdeen, we're talking Jim Leighton versus Telo Asgard against Annan on a Friday night. So I get that, but I just mean just the execution.
Execution, I think. Listen, I think they're both unbelievable free kicks, but you look at the one last night, and I think it's unfortunate it's the fifth goal against Annan Athletic. Do you know what I mean? So there's not that.
Were a lot of Rangers fans left by that?
Yeah, there was loads. Yeah. So again, they missed it. When you looked at the view from behind Asgard when he hits it, as you say, you could not place that in a better position.
Tavernier scored a similar one at Tannadice a few seasons ago.
Remember that?
Remember.
Okay, Asgard or Cooper? On you go. What one? What's the best? I've went Cooper. Hughes went Cooper.
What, for the technique or what?
Everything about it.
Everything about it, Cooper.
No, okay.
Full house.
But what it wants to say there, if he had gone just technique,
yeah, Asgard.
You can't have your cake
because like, you can't compare. No, how can you compare Annan to Aberdeen if you want? Do you want to take like the occasion into it?
And it was the fifth goal.
No, I'm taking.
You said everything about it.
I'm taking the fact of where it's from, the strike, the way the goalkeeper. Okay, the goalkeeper didn't move last night. I loved the goal last night. I'm not taking anything away from him. Brilliant, but you're not beating David Cooper.
Tie of the day might well be a Broth Airdrie, because late on it's now gone 3-3 and is, I was going to say, heading for penalties, but I don't know, because they might have another surprise for us. Thank you to Graham for kicking us off. If you want to discuss last night, today's action, tomorrow, transfers, you really are spoiled for choice. So give us a call right now, please. We'll speak to you next.
After they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Cammy Bell, Hugh Keevans, Gordon DL in the studio taking your calls. We're on the live stream as well. And it's been a good day so far of cup action. Last night it all kicked off, and then we've still got some work to be done as well, because still got St Mirren at Livy. Where are we? You must be getting close to penalties now. To see who goes through. Roger Hanna's keeping an eye on that one. Where was the other ones we were heading? I said Airdrie or Broth.
How's Spartans going?
Yeah, I think they are.
We've
still
got Kelty Cove as well. That's into extra time.
Yes, yeah, so there are a few. Spartans Inverness is heading that way. Kelty Cove, as Cammy quite rightly points out. So a fair bit to get through. Maybe we've had our shocks. We've had Dunfermline beating Hibs, and a brilliant result for Stenhouse Muir knocking out Morton 4-0 at home. So we'll have a wee,
just a word of praise for Stephen Presley in the passing, because you know he wasn't wanted by Dundee fans when he took the manager's job, but he's got them away from the relegation trouble momentarily. He's got a great cup result today, and the performances are good. You know, they ought to have done better against Hearts last weekend. And they were denied, of course, by the save of saves right at the death. But Stephen Presley has, if there was an award at the halfway stage of a season for the man who's won over the crowd who were against him, he'd win it.
I don't like to spoil Monday night's show and the big awards that we give out at the start, Cammy Bell, but we talk about goal of the weekend and all that stuff. When we get to howler of the weekend, though, the goal that Dundee score to win it, the howler that Kilmarnock produce in that moment is going to take some beating. Kelleris, the new goalkeeper, Robbie Dees, share the blame amongst them, but it is horrific.
Yeah, it's truly shocking. And again, Kilmarnock have had their goalkeeping problems. We all know about that this season. That's really hurt them. They've brought in a new goalkeeper in Roos, who knows the league and understands the quality that's expected. And it's just a simple high ball into the box, especially so late in the game. You've got to take command as a goalkeeper. Him and the defender go and challenge each other with no striker near them, make a real mess of it, and the ball just breaks to the Dundee player, and he just puts it in the
back.
Who
are you blaming, Cammy?
The goalie's got to take a huge amount of blame for me, because I think he's got to be very vocal in complete command that I'm coming. And see, to be honest, see, even if Robbie Dees has jumped for it, take him out. Go and take the ball. Take the whoever's there. Act as if that's a striker challenging you. Take the ball, catch the ball cleanly. So
knock,
yeah, he's
knock
got
your
to
teammate
take,
out.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, you've got to, in that moment, in that situation in the game, you've got to make sure you get the ball.
Hugh is a Motherwell fan. I think David Friel had Motherwell down as Scottish Cup winners at 2:05 this afternoon. They beat Ross County by 2-0. How was it, Hugh?
Good evening, guys. How are we?
Good, thanks. Good, Hugh.
Yeah, it was a pretty
average game, really. Millwall totally dominated it. I know Ross County had a couple of shots, but apart from those couple of shots, they've done really absolutely nothing. They will get football banned and cancelled tomorrow. That was absolutely atrocious. They were, sorry, wasting time after 17, 18 minutes. I think, what he's trying to do? You can see Stuart Kettlewell in his tactics again. Just a lump ball up the park. Millwall's made a fair few changes. They put Luca Ross, I felt sorry for the young boy, at left back. He's a left mid or centre mid. So he played the position where he was out. All Ross County done was put Jordan White on him, which is probably the right thing to do. But then they moved him over. You see Liam Gordon or Stephen O'Donnell moving on to Jordan White. And he didn't really do nothing after that. And I did feel sorry for Luca Ross at the time because he'd get put under a wee bit of pressure and you could see he wasn't comfortable where he was. So it was good that Jens protected him and brought him off early in the second half just to keep his confidence up. But I just think Millwall totally controlled the game today. There was no, with no fear they were going to score a goal today. It should have been more for us again, but as we say all the time, we just need that striker to pop it in. And you see if they get what you think about it. If obviously, I don't know who was at the game reporting for us, I don't know who that was, and see what they obviously say.
Yeah, I think your assessment of the game sounds fair. It's funny that we're talking about, well, let's talk about strikers, because people keep saying Millwall need a striker, but you've got one that's got 15, 16 goals. And you might not be aware of this if you've been at the game, Hugh, but because Martin O'Neill was there watching, people are thinking, well, they don't play Celtic anytime soon, Motherwell. What's he doing there? Celtic need a striker. Ah, he must be watching Tawanda Maswanisi. Is that a theory you could see?
Yeah, you possibly could, but then if he goes for Maswanisi, he's cup tied. So, does he really want to go and win a cup? Then
he's got a league to win, though.
That he brings it. Yeah, I understand you, but I don't actually think he will go for Maswanisi. I don't think that's a sort of Martin Neal type of striker. If you think when he had Larson, he had Hearts and Sun, it's not, Maswanisi's not his sort of striker, what he sort of likes. And again, he's only here in the summer, so is he bringing a striker in for another manager to come in and make a difference? So you don't, it's very difficult for him. Maybe he's just taking a game in.
Is it? No. I understand that this is Hugh arguing with Hugh now, which is good. But I don't think, Hugh, that he's in a position where he just takes in a game. He's got 14 or 15 days of the transfer window left. Celtic's need up front is very, very obvious. Martin O'Neill last weekend said there would be, and I quote him, serious trouble if Celtic didn't get someone in soon. So I don't think he just goes to North Lanarkshire just to watch the game. He's there on a mission.
What do you think, Gordon? Because we spoke about this a bit earlier. I can see where Hugh's coming from. Is Maswanisi going to be like a classic Celtic number nine in a Martin O'Neill team?
No.
Like, under normal circumstances, possibly not, right? Mm-hmm. But Martin O'Neill said yesterday it might not just be one striker he's looking for.
100%.
So can you then see Maswanisi going in as that, as that second one? And by the way, what's the other weak position in the Celtic team?
Wide.
It's wide off the right. That's actually where Maswanisi plays. Mm-hmm. Just as, you know, he's laterally kind of come through the middle, but he plays off the right hand side. Secondly, if they are struggling as much as it looks like they are in this transfer window, and it is becoming so difficult, and they can't get this guy and can't get that guy, and there's a big question mark over your recruitment process, maybe you do just look on your own doorstep. Because, well, Hugh can jump in on this, I don't know what Motherwell could command, but I don't think it would be huge, just because he's got it's a year left. He's got a year and a half left. You know, Motherwell did well in Lennon Miller and that sort of thing, but I don't think Motherwell could make it ludicrously difficult if that was a player Celtic had identified. So personally, hope it doesn't happen. Yeah. But professionally, I now, as the afternoon's gone on, don't think it's as unrealistic as I maybe did earlier.
I'm sort of siding with Hugh slightly here. I think Martin O'Neill
does. Which Hugh, though? It's Hugh on Hugh.
the old one over on the right. I think Martin O'Neill was there to run the eye over one or two players, and Maswanisi certainly comes into that category, because I think you're right. I think he'll look at him. I don't think he's looking at him as his number one striker, but I think you make a great case. If you're going to look for players just now, it's brilliant that they can play two or three positions and play them very well. Positions that you're desperate for to strengthen. So, look, and let's be honest, if the Celtic manager's in the stand watching you, and if he is watching you, what's the best thing to do to catch his eye?
Yes, score a goal. He's gone to use the evidence of his own eyes. He speaks all the time about the number of phone calls he has to make per day, he and Sean and Mark Fotheringham. He's gone, I think, to gathered the evidence of his own eyes, and whether it's Masmanisi or anyone else, and he will have left the ground having formed an impression.
To Hugh on the line though, Hugh, maybe it was a masterstroke keeping Elijah Just on the bench from the start, because we need to try and keep him a secret a bit more, do we not?
Yeah, well, definitely. Just for the point from Masmanisi, the value, firstly, I know he's up to 2027 and the club's got another option of a year, but if Hibs want $6 million for Bowie, we've got to go only $2.5-3 for Masmanisi. Without a shout,
I thought you were going to say six there, Hugh. I was going to fall off.
I'm realistic.
Yeah, and that was kind of my point, Hugh. That was my point. Celtic could offer $2.5, couldn't they? And Mother would take that for him, wouldn't they?
Oh, I think so. But you know how Celtic stackers have been over the years. They didn't offer enough for John McGinn. He left.
Oh, don't start your namesake. Just get excited there. That's his favourite topic.
They have got previous. For try to get people in. I mean, what was the thing with John McGinn? A couple of $100,000 they would put up for him, and he's gone after. So this is the sort of thing. Mullow's going to be strong with the money, because yes, we've got the money for Leonard Miller, and that's in the bank. So we don't physically need to say $1.5 million. Okay, we'll sell you. We can say no, we're not. I'm still taking $1.5 million, because he's up to 2027 and further year. If he keeps on, we'll give him his further year. So that's there for us. We're probably in power more than what Celtic are at this moment.
Yeah, whether Masmanisi or any other player is involved.
Quickly, we're now talking transfer fees, because Martin Neil rocked up at Fir Park this afternoon.
Yeah. But Celtic are approaching the most pivotal game of their season in terms of the league. They've got Hearts at Tynecastle a week tomorrow. They must have someone in. We're in a similar situation to Kairat Almaty in the Champions League, where we spent all our time in this programme saying they must sign somebody before that. And on it went. Hearts might be Celtic's last chance of the league.
It is going to penalties between Livy and St Mirren. Brilliant. We'll keep an eye on it. Rakami Bell, what have you got for us on that? I think you'd something to add.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, Masmanisi, when you look at the profile of the player, I think he fits in for Celtic with regards to his age. Again, Hugh's saying on the phone that he's got a year option. That's interesting, because again, is that a year option for the club or the player? Because I've seen it on both parties. So that would make a big difference on the fee. Because if it's an option on the player's point of view, then he could decide not to take that option up, which we'd obviously
think
only...
think it will be the club's side. Hugh, do you know more than me, Hugh?
Option has got it.
The club's got the option.
It doesn't matter. Money's king. If Celtic want him,
an extra year does
make a huge difference. Yeah,
but if they want him, they can go and get him. I don't think Masmanisi will be the number one striker for Celtic. But I think he'd be a great signing.
But what he is for long term, because Celtic haven't got a long term manager in place at this moment in time. But what they have got is looking at a young player that they can develop.
And I keep saying it. He can play off the right as well. Anyway, right. Thank you to Hugh. Jens Bertolasco has been asked about it. I'll give you the answer, but we're in the midst of a penalty shootout. Jeremy Bakila, the experienced striker for Livy, steps up first and hits it over the bar.
Oh dear.
That's not ideal.
I can just see big AJ on the touchline now.
37, I think Jeremy Bakila is. I actually think he's looked quite good when he's had in terms of in front of goal. There'll be obvious things that 37-year-olds can lack, but he's been pretty deadly at times in front of goal. Evan Mooney now steps up for St Mirren. That's big. Big responsibility in a young man to go first for St Mirren. He scores, so we are level there. I'm just going to try and keep you up to speed on them all. Hopefully take them a bit quicker than that long walk. Well, I'll quickly give you Jens Bertolasco on the interest in Masmanisi. Let's do it.
Look, there has been interest in our players already in the summer window, because they could see them early in the season doing really well, and that interest has been growing and will hopefully grow and grow until we find the right moment with the player and us to move them on. And that moment is not now. We're halfway through the season, a fantastic season so far, but still with room for improvement, and that's what we're going to chase with everyone who is important and who has been important in this part of the season. So that's the plan.
So you're confident you can keep Tylander regardless?
No, we can't keep him forever, and we shouldn't keep him forever. But there's no plan of anyone of our players moving on now, and there has been no one coming with a big wish on that. On the contrary, everyone is really committed and excited about what we're doing, and that's the track we're taking.
There's no plan until you get an offer.
Exactly. We'll need to get back to that. So Ryan McGowan scored for Livy. Marcus Fraser scored for St Mirren, so St Mirren have the advantage, because remember Jeremy Bokila missed first in that shootout. An all Premiership tie, both having a difficult league season, both could really be doing with cup progression to cheer the fans up. So let's see how it goes. Mamadou Sissoko now scores as well. So Livy need something. They need a miss here at some stage soon for St Mirren. Marcus Fraser back amongst the goals after missing one at Ibrox recently. Just wonder if that Jeremy Bokila one missing first, if that's going to just be the only one that comes back to haunt them come the end of the shootout. Bit of pressure on the next St Mirren taker, because they know that this next one goes in, you fire all that pressure back on the Livy players.
Who's up?
It's Liam Donnelly, a good penalty taker. Mm-hmm. Took a few when he was at Motherwell. He has scored as well. Mm-hmm. So we're heading for a St Mirren progression unless something gives. It's been a long afternoon for everyone involved, including Roger Hanna, who's reporting at the game. But let's see how it ends. Are we going to get some even late drama within the shootout if we can get a St Mirren miss, sorry, in the next penalty or two? Liam Donnelly, the last one to take, he scored there. The only guilty party so far, Jeremy Bokila, and he missed over the bar as well.
Nah, it's poor. He'll be feeling it. He'll be hoping somebody else misses.
Yeah, I think so. Either way, we'll go to Roger Hahn as soon as the final full-time whistle blows.
Just seen Kelty Hearts, they progressed in the penalty shootout.
The Kelty win against Cove on penalties.
How's Airdrie doing, Gordon?
Tete Yenge's been saved as well, so it looks very much like St Mirren.
Ta-ta.
Are going to be the team heading through, and we'll get to Roger Hanna in just a second. Did any of the others go to penalties? Is that the only one?
Yes, Airdrie's in penalties.
And Spartans is underway at the moment. I think Spartans have taken an early advantage in the shootout. Richard King steps up to win it for St Mirren, and he is taking his time. A bit of tension in there. I've got a cushion though.
Yeah, no pressure.
Not a huge amount of pressure. Could certainly be worse. Richard King's going to take the spot kick to try and win it for St Mirren. The League Cup winners, of course, having a miserable time in the league. The players made a fool of Stephen Robinson, apparently, the other night. Made him look stupid, I think was the quote. Well, let's see if they can get back to winning ways. Oh, that's saved as well.
Oh, drama.
There is a bit of drama. But Livy need to score this one, though, or it is all over.
Who is it, Marv?
Imagine him with those big luminous trainers that he wears.
He's on a yellow.
He's on his Crocs on.
Remember, he told the story about he was at Hibs and it went to penalties, and he made a young boy go, because it got all the way down the line. He didn't want to take it, so he made one of the young boys take it, and they missed and went out.
And Big Mar blamed him.
Stevie May goal. So back to St Mirren, and again going to have to score to win it. But if they miss, then
this is a wee bit pressure.
Yeah, I quite like the tension of this. Yeah, it's not even there.
Wonder who's taking it, do we know? Yeah.
We're about to. Roger Hanna will keep us well informed.
Stephen Robinson.
Malik Dykstiel, one of the summer signings who hasn't really played quite as much as the
pressure.
Rest.
Bit of pressure.
Yeah, real pressure. Although I've got a did he take one in. They went to penalties in the shootout at Rugby Park, didn't they? Yeah, he was the one that got the winner, I think. At Rugby Park to send them through, and then they beat Motherwell and so on.
The Livy goalie will have it in a water bottle. Where he went.
Goal! Here and that go. Is it. Is my arithmetic right? Is that
yes.
it? Is
it yes. done? Yes. Through.
Right, come on then, Roger Hanna.
Yes, and Mirren are through to the last 16 of the Scottish Cup. Malik Dykstiel, the shootout hero. They won 4-3 on spot kicks after a 1-1 draw. They're led from the third minute. Roland D. Dowu scoring early on, but Scott Arfield equalised as early as the 11th minute. There were great chances at either end, both in normal time and in extra time to win it, but it went all the way to the shootout. Jeremy Bokila missing the first penalty high over the bar. Evan Mooney, Ryan McGowan, Marcus Fraser, Moses Soho, Liam Donnelly all scored before Tete Yenge had his spot kick saved by former Livy goalkeeper Shamal George. Richard King stood up to win it. He was then denied by Jerome Prior. Stevie May got Livingston back in, but it was Malik Dykstiel, the Saints sub, the hero of the League Cup shootout earlier in the season, who stood up and smashed the ball home to win the shootout. Livy still waiting for their first win since August the 9th, but the Premier Sports Cup winners are one step closer to a return to Hampden. Livy won, Saints won, well but Saints won it in spot kicks.
Well done to St Mirren. They are through as well. Any of the other penalties? Shootouts finished. Let me just double check for you. Airdrie and Arbroath were heading into penalties as well. Is that still ongoing? I think Spartans are through in that other game. So well done to Spartans knocking out Inverness Cali Thistle at 4-2 on penalties. And I think that leaves us that only is the only remaining game is that Airdrie or Bro. 3-3, went to penalties, and I think it's still in the balance there as well. I'll let you know in a second. 0141 951 1025. Give us a call right now and we'll speak to you next.
It's Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line. 0141 951 1025.
Oh, a day of high drama in the Scottish Cup. It's only just ending because St Mirren have won on penalties to get past Livingston. Kilmarnock went out at home to Dundee. Let's hear from a frustrated Neil McCann.
I wouldn't say that, no, I've seen plenty of worse than listen, that's just, we're down to 10 men. I mean, what do you expect? It's 10 men, it's a team that's actually got their tails up, they get a goal. That's something that I'm a wee bit unhappy with, how our shape broken, just slightly, to allow the gaps. But we're down to 10 men. We're still asking them to just stay in the game, but still have a freedom to try and go and win the game. And then, of course, the mistake that leads to their second goal is a sore one to take. I wouldn't say it's calamitous, it's just a wee bit of miscommunication that's hurt us.
It's tough for Kerr, isn't it? Because it's his debut.
But by the way, Kerr's just in the door yesterday, and he's still going to get to know certain shouts, certain instruction as a back four, but I thought he was excellent.
Well, the only thing you can say is that it focuses the mind, because Neil McCann has a job to keep Kilmarnock in the division, and that's purely and simply the target now from now until May. The cup disappointment will eventually dissipate. He has to win league matches now, has to avoid the playoffs or, heaven forbid, automatic relegation.
I'm not going to argue too much about the words. Get when Neil McCann's a curly manager and he's want to protect him to a point and say, yep, it's just a miscommunication, which it is. But miscommunications can be calamitous. You know, when you look at it's really, it's a tough watch, even if you're not a Kilmarnock fan.
Yeah, it is. Again, it is. It's really, really poor. There's no getting away from it. It's poor. I've been there myself as a goalkeeper, and you make really poor errors, and it costs your team. So that's the life of a goalkeeper. But I understand why Neil's trying to protect him. He is just in the door, so it's difficult for him. And obviously he's going to play a big part between now and the end of the season about trying to keep Kilmarnock in the league. But it's a real blow when you lose such a poor goal. You've not asked the opposition to work you hard to get a good goal past you. You've almost just gifted them it. So you'll be so disappointed inside.
Well done to Dundee though. They've had some good league performances recently, and now through in the Scottish Cup. What about Tony in Crookston? How are you, Tony?
Good, Gordon, good. Thanks for taking my call, mate.
Pleasure. What are you thinking?
Just a wee question to Hugh Evans, if that was all right, eh?
Go for it.
On you go.
Sure, listen, you've had a long career in the journalism.
It's been long, all right, Tony.
Yeah, I know, why. Just to ask you, have you ever seen Hugh end in your life, what's going on at Celtic now? I mean, it's just incredible. I don't know if it's corporate negligence or just total incompetence. What do you think yourself?
Let's not accuse anyone of corporate negligence, so we can continue
but
as a
what
show.
What I will say is, Tony, I'm back in 1994 now, when attendance at Celtic Park had dropped to 10,000, when the board was under tremendous pressure, and we all know what happened. Fergus McCann came over and the club was transformed. I honestly think that Celtic, I'll be perfectly frank with you, I think Celtic need a Rangers. They need a takeover. I think they need to be taken over. I think Dermot Desmond has taken the club as far as he can, and I think that what's going on this season is shambolic. They have fired two managers, Brendan Rodgers and Wilfred Nancy. The fact that they appointed Wilfred Nancy in the first place defies understanding. They hired Martin O'Neill as interim manager and then let him go before they played St Mirren in the cup final. Martin O'Neill would not have lost that cup final. And then when Wilfred Nancy failed horribly at Motherwell, they let him stumble into the Old Firm game thereafter, and we know that he was sacked 2 days later. I just think that Celtic are being left behind. Rangers quite correctly stage managed their presentation of three new players last night, because they know that every Rangers fan is looking at Celtic and thinking, what's going on there? And you, Tony, represent the frustrated Celtic support. I honestly think that Celtic have lost their way, and I think that they need to be taken over.
Is there no chance, Tony, in the remaining 14 days of the window? Because in fact, there might even be more than that. I think is it the 3rd of February it closes this year?
2nd of February.
That is, there's still time, Tony. Is there any chance that Celtic get it together, bring in some good players, and all of this conversation becomes a thing of the past?
To be honest, Gordon, there's no confidence in this board. They've had all this time up to now to buy players and sign players, they've not got anybody in, so I don't see anything happening in the next 2 weeks, to be honest with you. I'm just staggered that a club has got £77 million sitting in the bank that's going to lose the league. That's unfathomable. It's unthinkable. It's frustrating for all Celtic fans, not only in Glasgow, I'd imagine Celtic fans all over the world.
Well, look at the progress of the season, Tony.
Yep. Look at
the progress of the season. We begin with Kairat Almaty.
Yeah, exactly. Sure, yep.
For Celtic not to spend before that game was incredible. And they cost themselves £40 million worth of Champions League money as a consequence.
Unbelievable.
And they have continued in that vein. As I say, two managers out, the same interim manager hired and then rehired. And it's just as well it's Martin O'Neill, because he's holding the club together. And the fans will be respectful of Martin O'Neill because of what he's done in the past for Celtic. But this, when they go to Tynecastle, if they don't win, Tony, and they fall 9 points behind Hearts, would you or any other Celtic supporter believe there was a realistic chance of still winning the league?
No. Hearts is definitely our last chance. I think even if Celtic got a draw at Hearts, it still might not be enough to win the title, to be fair.
But you Martin know? O'Neill is in the position, Tony, where a week ahead of that match, he is saying, I hope to have players in by Tynecastle.
I ask the question because I feel like you have to. Sorry, Tony, I was going to put it to the guys, because I think you make a good point. I think you said about trust or confidence, one of those words. You ask the question, Gordon, because you have to. Look, there's still 2 weeks left, so maybe, just maybe. There's no point in us giving cast iron guarantees that they won't do business and then you look daft if they do. However, that word, trust, confidence, if in January or last summer or the January before Celtic had left it to the last minute and then gone and done some really good business, you would say, well, look, it can happen. But when Tony talks about trust and confidence, Celtic don't have that recent body of evidence. There was a time where they were great in the transfer window. Yeah. Did they not in 1 January sign Reo Hatate and Daizen Maeda and Matt O'Reilly, something like that? Like, there was a time when it was top draw. Those days feel far away at the moment.
Yeah, they've took their eye off the ball, there's no doubt about that. Where I slightly disagree with Hugh was, I don't think they cost or sell £40 million by not spending money. I think they had enough in the building to go and beat Almaty, and they didn't even score a goal against them, but that's here or there. I'm going to hold my opinion, Gordon. I said that this league will depend on this transfer window for me. You look at Rangers, I think Rangers are recruiting well. It's still to be shown that if these players have got to hit the ground running and make such a big impact. But what they've done is identified certain positions that need strengthened. They've went out, spent money, and they've achieved that. I'm going to wait. I think Celtic are sleeping in the transfer market. I think everybody agrees with that. I will be astonished, and I've got to wait until the transfer window closes. And I'm putting Hearts into this as well, because they're doing some good business in the transfer market. So I'll wait to the transfer on the 2nd of February, and then if Celtic are still in the same position, there's absolutely not a chance Celtic will win the league with this squad.
Yeah, listen, I fully expect Celtic to bring in bodies, and I think you're right, Daz, that it's who comes in and what quality comes in, and that's probably been the frustration from the Celtic fans, because there isn't the evidence there that it's recently been good. It's been very, very poor for a long time. They've got it wrong as a club and as a board. They've certainly taken their eye off the ball. There's been loads of failures within it, but again, I still think there's an opportunity. If they can manage to somehow get the right bodies in the building, this opportunity is still there to win this title.
Well, it's all about Auchinleck Talbot first. Thank you very much to Tony on the phones. That brings us to a close. It's been a good old weekend. Rangers first through, joined by Dunfermline, who beat Hibs. Then on to this afternoon, congratulations. I'll run through them all quickly then, shall we? Airdrie, Elgin, Dundee United, Kelty, Dundee, St Mirren, Motherwell, Partick Thistle, Spartans, Stenhouse Muir, all through to the last 16 of the Scottish Cup. Tonight they will be joined by either the Premiership leaders Hearts or one of the success stories of the season so far in Falkirk. And then tomorrow, like we say, your dose of romance, Auchinleck Talbot. Yes, it's at Rugby Park, but still taking on Celtic, a team from the sixth tier against a team that's won the Scottish Cup more than any other. That is the beauty of this old competition. We'll see what it throws up between the rest of tonight and tomorrow. The boys are back at 4 o'clock tomorrow to keep you up to speed on everything that's happening. I personally will speak to you all on Monday, which I'm looking forward to already. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday. The GBX is up next. Have a good one.